Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. In Luke chapter 2, if you look in verse number 40, we see the scripture that we're going to take off from tonight. But I want to show you two scriptures and have you compare them. Here we see, first of all, a description of the Lord Jesus Christ as a child. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and the child, speaking of Jesus, grew, waxed strong in spirit. That's what we taught on last year. What are the six attributes of the Christ child? Well, number one, we've studied now, strength of spirit. Number two, notice this, filled with wisdom. Now, that's important. That phrase is there for a reason. It's written the way it is for a reason. Do you have your thinking caps on? All right, don't make me feel like I'm John the Baptist tonight, just a voice crying in the wilderness, all right? Listen to me and let me help you, all right? Filled with wisdom, verse 40. Now, interesting, if we jump down to verse 52, now we're talking about Jesus in the years after 12 years of age. It says in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject. So now we're talking about from now on, after 12 on, was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus, watch this, here it is. What did he do? Increased in wisdom. So as a child, in the first 12 years, he was filled with wisdom. As a teenager, he increased in wisdom. Now look right up here and let me have your hearts. Teenagers, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. For the first 12 years, the primary on this matter of getting wisdom to you is your parents. They are to fill you with wisdom. But you know what? The mark of maturity in a young man or young lady is when all of a sudden something clicks inside of you, and it's not mom and dad force feeding you something, but you developing a hunger for it in your own life. You are to build upon what they've taught. Not when you turn 21, not when you turn 25, not when you turn 30. From 12 years old and onward, mom and dad laid a foundation of wisdom, and at some point you have to decide to increase that. That doesn't mean, parents, that we stop. Of course not. But at some point, look right up here. You know what? If you turn your heart to foolishness, your parents can try to continue to give you wisdom all they want, but it's not going to matter. It's not going to work, because you have to, at some point, get hungry for yourself. Now, what we're teaching on in our child rearing series is basically the first 12 years. But I do refer from time to time, because listen, if we don't do parents what we ought to in the first 12 years, get this thought. It's a little hard for them to crease upon something that was never given them in the first place. Now, I'm going to tell you this, young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you can't say that you haven't been filled with wisdom. You can't say, well, my parents, okay, so what? They're not perfect. You won't be perfect when you're a parent either. But they put you here. They brought you to church. They got you to Sunday school. Okay? They had talks with you. They've tried to give you instruction. Did you notice in the first few verses of Proverbs chapter 4 there how Solomon talks about the sweet relationship he first had with his father, and how he was tender and beloved in his sight, and he listened and gleaned from his father David, and now he's trying to take this wisdom and hand it down. But there comes a point in time where young people, listen to me, some teenager around here goes wacko. I don't start throwing rocks at the parents. You're supposed to be a young man. You're supposed to be a young lady. And at some point, you need to start building yourself upon what's been given to you. Okay? And so let's keep that thought in mind, and we're going to take off on this. I'm going to give you probably 2 weeks of stuff in one evening, and we'll give it to you quickly. I really believe this. What I'm giving you is just seed thoughts. I really believe you're going to have to take this stuff home and care enough about it to dig in and to meditate. And moms, dads, husbands, wives, sit down, talk about these things, come up with a plan. Here we go tonight. Heavenly Father, please help us. Lord, give me clarity of thought. Thank you for strengthening me for tonight, Lord. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Thank you for Brother Johnson giving us this wonderful reminder. I feel like taking 15 minutes and saying an amen, and I won't, to everything he said this morning. Thank you, Lord, that he recognizes something from somebody coming in from the outside and urges a church, stay on the right path, keep doing the right things. Don't let off doing what you did to get here, because if you do, in 5 years, you won't be here. And so we needed to hear that. This preacher needed to hear that. Thank you for helping me this morning. Now, Lord, bless our time as we go through this. Lord, even though I'm going to try to cover quite a bit in a short amount of time, I would not want to, Lord, run past your spirit. So stop me or slow me down where I need to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Quick review. By the way, Matthew, on the back table back there, there's a paper that says parental ladder. Would you grab me one of those and bring it up here to me? I have made 60 copies of this, the parental ladder that we introduced in the very first lesson. If you would grab a copy of that, and on your way out, it's going to help you. Parents, this is what you need to review. This is not Jerry Ross's magic formula. This flows out of a lifetime of studying and meditating on the book of Proverbs. Listen to me. The parental ladder. What are we doing? We're trying to decide ahead of time where we're going to take our young people. So we take the time to write down the attributes that we'd like to see in them when they're 18 years of age. Then we don't just spend the rest of our time wishing that that happens. We work a plan towards that, the parental, by using our parental ladder. What do we do? Number one, quick review, proper evaluation. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. You look at the list of desired character traits, you properly and honestly evaluate your children where they are so that you know what you need to work on. Number two, pointed prayer. You have not because you ask not. That list of character traits becomes a prayer list for your children. You pray daily and ask God to help you have the wisdom to implement those character traits in them. Step three, parental modeling. This is good. Child rearing is like handing us a mirror. When we begin to see things that are lacking a lot of times in our children, Holy Spirit of God will say, those lackings are because of your lackings. Come on now, you're not gonna raise children with a haughty spirit. Good children. If you think that you don't need help in any area, then you're probably gonna raise rotten kids. All right? Arrogancy doesn't produce good kids. Humility does. So sometimes as you're trying to work on improving them in an area, the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know what? You could work on that. And how wise is the parent that sits down with the child and says, you know what? I see a weakness in your life that we're going to work on. And I think that weakness is a result of a weakness in my life. So we're going to do this together. We're going to take this journey together. We're not making excuses about it. By the way, that's not an excuse for you to keep doing it. I'm going to work on it. You're going to work on it. And we're going to tackle this thing together. What a wise parent to be honest with your children. Number four, patient instruction. Hear, son, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. This is verbal instruction paired with step five, practical training. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So we have proper evaluation, pointed prayer, parental modeling, patient instruction, practical training, praise and reward. You know I'm big on this because God is. Proverbs 11, 18. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As your children embrace wisdom and do the right thing, I mean this, you ought to praise them and you ought to reward them for that. Then, step seven, purposeful correction. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Purposeful correction takes two forms, reproof and the rod. Give wisdom, Proverbs 29, 15. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother's shame. So verbal reproof or corporal punishment. We're going to talk about that in some detail. They're laying back there. Grab one, study it out. I'd like to think that I could go to a parent at the end of this 6 weeks and say, run through the parental ladder for me and give me the steps. And you'd have them, and you'd have them committed to your heart. Watch this. You want your children to learn, right? Yes, sir. You want your children to heed instruction? Yes, sir. Amen. Right. Amen. So I'm giving you the stuff. Yes, you throw this out. Don't be surprised if everything they're trying to teach you, they throw out. Right. You got a know-it-all attitude? Then you know what? They're going to have a know-it-all attitude. Right. You ready to learn? Amen. All right, let's do it. That's good. Three of you. Good. All right, good. Amen. The six attributes of Christ at age 12. Strength of spirit, godly wisdom, divine graciousness, hunger for knowledge, depth of understanding, clarity of purpose. I've spent most of my life, you guys don't bother me a bit, I've spent most of my life doing most of my preaching and teaching for a very small core group of people that really have a heart to learn. It was that way when I was on a bus route. I'd have 70 people in the bus and 5 or 10 that really wanted to learn. The rest were there for ice cream cones or banana splits or whatever. And I, you know what I did? I poured my life into those 10. That's why I have a bus kid sitting back there. And it finally paid off. You know, he came and took my daughter's photographs for a wedding. Didn't charge me anything. And that's just the first installment of all the pizza I bought him and all of the times he conned me out of a gyro and all the stuff that he got out of me when I was on the bus route, amen. And but I mean that. That's how I live my life. I want to give. There's, you know why? There's always a handful of people that really want it. And then there's the rest that just sit and they just kind of look at you. And I love you. I'm glad you're here. Please keep tithing. It'd be good. We can run buses and see people saved. But the honest truth is, in your own life, you're stagnant. In your own life, you're stagnant spiritually. And so get a heart to learn. All right, here we go. Godly wisdom. Strength of spirit we covered last week. Godly wisdom. All right, step one. Let's use our parental ladder. Step one, you need to evaluate your young people. I said this a couple weeks ago. When the doctor comes out to new parents, instead of saying, congratulations, it's a boy, or congratulations, it's a girl, they ought to probably, an honest doctor should probably say, congratulations, it's a sinner. Every newborn possesses two prominent characteristic traits. Here's what they are. Number one, every child is born simple. I'm going to give you a lot of stuff quick. Man alive, I should charge for this. Every child is born simple, and they are. Simple, it's not an insult. It just means untaught. They're untaught. They're untrained. You teach them through verbal instruction. You train them through practical training. But they're simple. They don't know anything. Number two, every child is born foolish. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22:15. So, not only are they simple and they don't know anything, but they have a bend towards foolishness. They have a bent towards doing wrong because of a sin nature. That's what you've been given, and God's instruction is this to the parent. Eliminate the child's simplicity and foolishness and replace it with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That's our assignment. Sounds easy, huh? No problem, Lord. That all you want us to do? Yep, I'm going to give you 18 years. Oh, wow, thank you. You know what? We need God's help. Okay, a child is born simple, and he has a carnal nature, a sin nature, that's going to always cause him to want to lean towards being foolish. So we understand that as a parent. We understand by studying the Bible, my child is simple, and my child has a bent towards foolishness. Now, I want to produce at 18 years of age a wise child. So I've got to fix two things. With God's help, I've got to replace their simplicity, fix that, and I have to battle their foolishness and see if I can get them to walk in the ways of wisdom. Are you there? Now let's quickly define the simple, the foolish, and the wise. Simple child is ignorant. A simple child is ignorant of Bible commands and principles. You've seen me do this so many times. Some of you could get up here and do it for me. But a simple young person doesn't talk about their IQ. Doesn't mean they're retarded. It just means they're untaught. When it comes to the things of God, biblical instruction, we have a whole community full of young people, haven't been taken to church. Yes, if they have a Bible and own one, they've never read it. They're never under the influence of biblical wisdom, biblical instruction. So they're simple. They're just untaught. I told you about Paul Chapman getting saved. And he comes to my office, tears run down his face. I'm so far behind. How am I going to catch up? Here, give him the box of sermon tapes. Get busy. Start listening. Just simple when it comes to things of God. Okay, so that's for a kid that's out of church. Yeah. All right, now let's talk about the kids that are in church. You're going to be taught. So guess what? You can't claim simple. I'm simple, Lord. Sorry, the reason I turned out the way I did, I'm simple. I just, no one ever taught me. No, you don't have that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so you are going to be taught. Now, if you're taught and you despise wisdom, you despise instruction, you undervalue it, you walk around with a haughty spirit, you can't be taught. You know everything. So if you're, then what you're doing is the wisdom that's being taught has put you in a situation where you have to make a choice. You're going to despise the wisdom, reject the wisdom, and the Bible will pronounce you a fool. That's the definition of a fool. A fool is someone who hears our theme verse here. Okay? He that heareth my words and doeth them. He that heareth my words and doeth them not. So it's not talking about a simple person. In that parable, there's only two people being talked about, the foolish and the wise, because both of them had the opportunity to learn, to hear. And our job, say, well, preacher, you know, not everybody turns out. Everybody's got a chance to turn out. Everybody's got the same chance to turn out. But you know what? Teenagers, I'm back at you again. Guess what? You want to be treated like an adult? I'll treat you like an adult tonight. Here we go. Guess what? We can only give it to you. We can only try to teach it to you. You're either going to embrace it and you're going to apply it and you're going to become wise through it, or you're going to reject it and despise it. And you know what? You're going to walk the path of a fool. And there's destruction at the end of that road. And so here's the simple man. He has never been taught the biblical instruction. Here is the foolish man. He's taught it, sits in Sunday school, and he listens like everybody else, but he sits here like this. Okay? And we've got kids that are members here that do that. They do it in here sometimes, and I put up with it about that much, and then I'll nail their hives. Okay. By the way, your children are not going to sit in this service and disrespect what comes from this pulpit. I'm not going to let them do it. Now, if you want to get mad about that, get mad. But you young people, be warned. I'm gonna take a couple of you and make you stand up in this service and go back and sit by mom and dad. Because you are not going to disrespect what's being said from this pulpit by looking at your buddy and laughing and becoming a scorner. Bible says do two things with the scorner. Smite him and cast him out. If you are so brave that you would sit and look at a preacher and mock what I'm saying, then anything you get, you deserve. Parents, don't you come to my office later whining about it. I'm following the Bible. If you would follow the Bible, they wouldn't be like that. All right, now here's the wise young person. Thank God for the wise young people. Brother Tom, you're right. These are the kids that don't get any press time around here. Well, we're doing a lot more of that. That's what I did tonight. You know, everybody wants to talk about the handful, the two or three or four that want to be ding-dongs. I'm sick and tired of talking about them. Let's talk about the great group of young people around this church that every week come and show up with the Bible and want to learn the things of God. And by the way, that's who I want in our school. Okay, I'm tired of dealing with fools. Okay, if you don't want to be there, be honest, kids, if you don't want to be there, come see me. I'll have a meeting with your parents and we'll put you somewhere else. But I'm tired. Brother Reiser's tired. Brother Clancy's tired of it. Brother Gordon's tired of it. Mrs. King is tired of it. Okay, Sister Gordon's tired of it. We shouldn't have to deal with it. We shouldn't deal with the disrespect. We shouldn't deal with the fool's attitude. Don't get mad at teachers. Don't get mad at me. Send me a kid that has a heart to learn. Okay, and we'll help them out. Okay, but thank God, here's the great majority of Blessed Hope Baptist Church kids. They hear it, and you know what? While this kid's sitting back there doing this, they've got a notebook out, and they're listening, and they're whether they're writing notes down or not, they're getting, and they're thinking, you know what? I could do that, and yes, I need help in that area. And they're learning and growing, and that's what produces wise young people. But young people, you know what? We'll fill you with wisdom for 12 years, but you got to decide to increase in wisdom. You got to grab a hold of that at some point and say, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to please the Lord. Now, so proper evaluation. We understand what we are given when the child is born, and then we take a step back and say, is my child simple? Is my child foolish? Is my child wise? And now, what do we do about it? Okay, pointed prayer. Number two, step number two, pointed prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I believe that's not only prayer for wisdom for you, I think that's prayer for wisdom for your children. I believe this ought to be one of the most important prayer requests that you pray to God every day of your life, is for God to give them a heart, a hunger for wisdom, for them to develop that in their life. Acknowledge, by the way, parents, acknowledge to God in your prayers that you lack the wisdom to rear godly children. Pray and ask God for wisdom for yourself and for your children. Number three, parental modeling. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, listen, when it comes to this matter of wisdom, we'll evaluate our children. Let's slot them in. Where are they? Where are they? Wait a minute. God says, stop a minute. Why don't you slot yourself in? Okay, he says, time out. You need to figure out where you're at. Because they're going to mirror a lot of times your attitude towards instruction. Okay, it's towards practical training. You know, if you despise instruction, they're going to probably despise instruction. So where are you? Not always. Sometimes we have parents that, you know what, are hungry for wisdom. And one of the children have that example. But you know what? They just choose to be foolish. And for a time period, they despise wisdom and instruction. And it doesn't mean that's always true. But it's worth evaluating. How hungry are you to learn, parents? How hungry are you to learn? Are you simple concerning the scriptures? Do you have an understanding of the truths of God's word? You know what? If you don't have this understanding, you can begin now to increase your understanding of the scriptures in your daily life. How do you do that? Three ways you increase wisdom in your own life. And it all has to do with the interaction of this word of you and the word of God, your relationship to the Bible. Let me give them to you three, and I can't teach them. Number one, personal study. Yes, parents, you ought to be studying the Bible. You ought to study the Bible. If you read the Bible, I'm glad. I think you need to graduate. Once you get kids, you better graduate from reading the Bible to studying the Bible. Personal study. Number two, public preaching. God has chosen to use the foolishness of preaching. By the way, that's foolish to the lost world. It shouldn't be foolish to born-again Christian. To educate Christians concerning the scriptures. Don't miss a church service. Come on now. Young couple, some of you gotten lax. I'm trying to help you. Some of you are thinking of trying to find reasons not to be here instead of just deciding you are going to be here. Okay? I'm just trying to help you. I mean it. The church service you miss is probably going to be the one that month that you need the most. Devil knows what he's doing. Why is he working so? You ever ask yourself that? Why is he working so hard on me tonight to keep me from being there? You know, why don't you look at the guy behind the curtain that's pulling this stuff on you? Okay? So don't miss it. You can learn so much by faithfully sitting under a good Bible preaching pastor. Listen, I love you. I want to help you grow spiritually, but I can't do it if you're not here. Okay, there's parents that were here this morning that's not getting what you're getting tonight. Thank you for showing a hunger to know. Number three, private counseling. That's how you increase in wisdom. This is the plan that I use. This is what I started doing as a young adult. Personal study, public preaching. I want to hear preaching and learn from it. And then private counsel. A wise parent goes beyond personal study and public preaching, seeks out private counsel. From time to time, there's going to be areas of concern in your life, and you're just going to need to sit down with somebody. By the way, Titus chapter 2, godly women are supposed to teach the younger. Godly older men are supposed to teach the younger men. And so that's good. I don't think that necessarily means age. Sometimes I think that refers to also spiritual maturity. You know, you can be 60 years old, but you can be not as advanced in the things of the Lord as somebody that's younger than you. All right. If that wasn't true, then I couldn't pastor anybody over 50 years of age. Okay? And so it's just a matter of study and learn and a humility that is willing to come and say, I don't think I have the answer to this, or maybe I think I do, but I want to make sure and get some good Bible counseling. Good. Patient instruction. Let's go there. How do you develop wise children? We're going to get to the real foundation. How do you develop wise children? Well, you got to evaluate where they are at. You got to begin to pray where you want them to be. You got to take a search of your own heart and see if there's things that you need to improve, and then instruct. Patient instruction. We're talking about verbal instruction. Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Simplicity is removed and wisdom is acquired by verbal instruction. Now, verbal instruction, stay with me. We have two problems. The child's simple and the child has a bent towards foolishness. Let's fix the simplicity. How do we keep them from being simple? We verbally instruct. We teach them wisdom. Therefore, they cannot one day stand and say, I was never taught. So I'm going to verbally teach wisdom. Deuteronomy 6, and these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. What? Wait a minute. Kids can't hear instruction and know not to forsake the law if we're not instructing. How about Proverbs 8:10, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. How about Proverbs 8:33? Hear instruction and be wise. They can't hear it if you're not giving it. Be wise. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Proverbs 12:1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. Proverbs 23:12, applying thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So two things need to happen. Watch this, young people. A mom and dad need to be instructing, and a simple young person needs to be properly and have their hearts open, have a right attitude towards instruction. They need to be receiving the instruction. Now, verbal instruction is important for two reasons. Verbal instruction provides the child with knowledge so that they can begin the path towards wisdom. Verbal instruction provides the child with knowledge. Parents, what's the key to learning? Repetition. That means you're not going to tell them one time and they're going to remember it. Well, I told you that when you were four. I don't know what the problem is. All right? You're going to repeat a lot of things over and over and over and over and over and over again. Okay? And that's okay. You're going to use verbal instruction. If you see them doing wrong in an area, don't grab a paddle. We're going to talk about spanking in a minute. But you know what? First of all, always verbally instruct. Make sure that you've taught them how to do it. Talk them through it. So verbal instruction is important because it provides the young person with knowledge. But watch what I'm going to say next. Please listen to me. Not only is verbal instruction important because it provides the young person with knowledge, but verbal instruction also reveals the child's attitude towards instruction. When you start instructing your child, what do? You need to answer that question. What do they do? Okay, because it's not, listen, you're not just trying to fix simplicity here. You're trying to fix foolishness. So they're simple because they don't know, so you try to instruct them, and then they cop an attitude towards the instruction. You know what they're showing you? That they also, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So listen, they're doing something that they need taught better in. So I say, stop, wait, I'm going to give you some instruction there. Now I'm trying to fix what they're doing, give them instruction and knowledge so that they can do and improve in an area of their life. If they start showing on their face, their attitude, a despising of instruction, then I've got a separate issue I need to deal with. Okay? Because their problem long term is going to be fixed only if they develop a heart. Well, I want you young men to get that. Mom and Dad's trying with some of you. Mom and Dad is trying with some of you. You know what? They can't get anywhere. Not because they're not giving you the goods, but because you do not have a hunger, a desire to learn wisdom. So they're telling the same things over and over and over again, and you know what? All they get is this rolling of the eyes, and well, they're lecturing me, and blah, 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 and you know, I can't believe, you wouldn't believe what Dad did last night. I mean, for a half hour, all I did was just get yelled at. Well, you know what? He shouldn't have to yell it at all. He should say to you, hey, I want to teach you something. Dad, please, help me. You know what? Listen, the young people that I've never had a problem with that have gone out of here, been a success, or the young people at some point come to my office and look at me and say, preacher, if you see anything going on in my life, you didn't see anything going on in my life that's just not right, I need to get fixed, I need to get squared away, would you please tell me? And I promise you, I'll listen to you. Now listen, folks, that is so valuable. Not because of that they're giving me some kind of power in their life. That's not what it's about. That reveals a heart that says, I'm willing to learn. Hey, I'm willing to be rebuked. I'm willing to be corrected. If there's something going on I need to have my attention drawn to. I want to know. Now, you get there as a young person, you know what's going to happen? You're going to leave everybody in your age group far behind when it comes to wisdom. Okay, the little knucklehead group that every time somebody tries to tell them something, okay, whatever. Like I said last week, write down your phone number. Here you go. Call me in 10 years. Tell me how your life is going. Because at some point, young person, at some point, I can't help you. Mom can't help you. Dad can't help you. Watch this. God can't help you. And at some point, he won't try to help you. He'll just get his old-fashioned switch out. Because God chastens his children. And he'll start correcting that attitude. He'll use the reproofs of life to correct you. I don't care how proud. Well, I want you to get this. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm being so honest. I don't care how proud and arrogant you may have become. God can humble you down to nothing. The Bible says God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He can bring you down to nothing. So lose the attitude. Okay, you don't know everything. Yes, sir. Mom and listen, your dad knows, he's got more wisdom in his little finger. Isn't that what Brother Howes used to always say? He's got more wisdom in his little finger than you got your whole stinking body.
Yes, sir.
Right. So lose it. Get a humble heart and be willing to be taught. And you know what? That's it. That's the corner that I just want to see our young, and I see a young person turn that corner and get that maturity. I don't mean everything. They don't mean they don't have problems, but they take off like a rocket. That's it.
Amen.
That's the one thing I can't do for you. You got to do it for you.
That is right.
That's the one thing I can't change. You got to decide in that area of your life. And so, you know what? Make the right decision. That'll be a blessing. All right, here we go. So, verbal instruction reveals the child's attitude towards instruction. Verbal instruction reveals the child's attitude towards instruction. Quickly, practical training. All right, I won't spend a lot of time on this. Wisdom, we already said a little bit about it, but wisdom, let me back up. Patient instruction is verbal instruction. Practical training, hands-on. Simplicity is removed, and wisdom is acquired by practical training. Verbal instruction is important, but it's only the first step in removing simplicity. Teach them how to do something and then have them do it. Let me give you maybe an illustration. You can teach your children finances, try to teach them verbally finances, but the only way they're going to learn to handle money is if you give them some or you have them earn some. Listen, I want to say this. We've trained our girls financially. We did so the first 12 years by giving them allowance. So I don't believe in giving allowances. Well, I hate to say allowance because, you see, there's a catch with what they got. All right. Here's your list of chores for the week. At the end of every week, if mom says you've kept up with them, boom, dad cha-chings you. If he says you've been slacking, guess what? Your sisters get cha-chinged, and you get to learn that if you don't work, you don't eat. Why are we rewarded? Here's our government. Did you work this week? No. Here's a check. They come back in a month. Did you work this month? No. Here's somebody. You know, I mean, you know what? When I say allowances, I'm saying tie it to their responsibility. What? Well, I think, well, stop. Think about this. When you are do what you're supposed to do, God rewards you. And so this whole idea, I think this is one of the biggest problems we have. This somebody said it once and we all kept repeating it. Well, I don't think kids ought to be rewarded for what they ought to do. God or what they should do anyway. God rewards you when you do what you should do anyway. And I'm not just giving them money to give them money. I'm giving money to train them to handle money. That means our little girls went to the bank when they had to use the steps and stand up to the teller and open their first savings account. When they got an allowance, we didn't take them to Walmart and say, blow it. Okay? We said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to give you some money. Now let me tell you what you're going to do with it. All right? Watch this. 50% of it goes in a savings account. How much money does a six-year-old need? Come on. Okay? All right? First thing we taught them, forgive me, let me get the right order. First thing we taught them was, okay, you tithe off that. Say, preacher, you already tithe off of it. It's your money. Yeah, but that doesn't teach them anything. Aren't you worried about double tithe? Oh, yeah. The one thing I try to be careful of is I don't want to overdo it when it comes to giving to God. Don't want to mess up there. You calculator people. Let's see. What do I have to give 10%? Let's see, I think I'll choose the amount after taxes. Yeah, that'll do it, you know. You do whatever you want to. I mean, that's between you and God, but I'm just telling you, how's it going? I'm just asking you, how's it going? Okay, and you lay a foundation, young couples. I don't care if you have to eat bread and rice for a week, tithe. Chicken livers are good, man. Fried chicken livers. Come on. Yeah, I lost everybody. Fried chicken livers. You know what? A little thing of a container of chicken livers and one onion and rice cost, and you can feed you and mama, and the kids will eat the rice and the gravy. Someone might boycott the liver. I like liver. Liver and onion. Come on now. Somebody give me a witness here. All right. There we go. All right. Liver and onion. I'm not moving some of you at all. That's all right. Nice try, preacher. I'm not going there, man. I'm serious about that. I would live on rice and beans before I'd start robbing God.
Yes, sir.
I'd go down to eat one meal a day before I wouldn't tithe. Wouldn't hurt most of us. Amen. I'm serious about that. God comes first.
Yes, sir.
God comes first.
Yes,
I didn't just tell them to do it. I made sure they did it. Okay. Verbal teaching. Okay. Followed by practical training. I'm forgetting my own notes. And so you teach them to do it, but if you're not training them to do it, hey, wait a minute, look right up here. Did you train? All right, all these kids having birthdays this summer, don't tell me they didn't get money from grandma. And you just run them down to Walmart and let them blow it all. You just trained them what to do with finances. You trained them what to do with finances. And when they're young couples, they're going to be always destitute. And they're not going to have the blessing of God because you taught them if you get money, you run down and you blow it on you. You've taught them to be selfish and you've taught them to be unwise with finances. And when they're 25, guess what? Every dime that comes in their house, they're going to be selfish with it and they're going to blow it. Train them. That's what I'm using this as an illustration. Okay? Too many of our young people. I want to be careful. I'm not trying to hurt. Some of you, you weren't taught this. I'm not beating up on you. I'm trying to teach you now. But the idea of a young person getting to college age and wanting to go to a year to Bible college, not having any money, just drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. Oh, mom and dad. Well, mom and dad, what? You never worked. You never got a dollar in your pocket or your hand. What'd you do with it? Where's it at? Okay, so you teach them. Give tithes and offerings. Teach them to give to missions. Teach them to go to the bank and put some in a savings account. Well, that don't leave them much. They don't need much. It's not like they're paying the electric bill. Dad's got that. I'll take care of all that. I'll take care of your overhead. But you're gonna do some things. Okay, quickly. We got to move on. Praise and reward. Listen. Here's a kid that's simple. You teach them wisdom. They come home. They get it. They apply it. I love the stories of parents that come to me and say, "Hey, what you preached last week? My child started doing this. My teen started doing this." You know what? When you see that, you ought to jump on that with praise and reward. Okay? If they do right and they never hear boo from you or never get a reward for it, why do right? Okay? And so, praise and reward. Quickly now, step 7, purposeful correction. Go to Proverbs 29. I didn't have you turn to a lot of scripture because I'm going super speed here. We may go a few minutes longer than we normally do tonight. Not a whole lot. Rod and reproof give wisdom. Proverbs 29:15. Watch this. The rod and reproof, there it is. Give what? Isn't that the goal? So they're simple. So I'm going to say, I'm removing that option. I'm going to teach you verbal instruction, practical training. I watch their attitude towards it. If they start despising instruction, they start despising the training, then you know what? They are revealing foolishness. Now, when that happens, parent, what are you going to do about it? You gonna let it go? You're just gonna get frustrated and say, "Okay, just get away. I'll do it." Are you gonna surrender? You're gonna quit. That's what has to be dealt with. Simplicity is removed by training, practical, verbal instruction, practical training. Their attitude and willingness to obey that, implement that, is gonna display that they're either wise or they're foolish. And when they start despising that, kicking back at it, talking back about it, rolling their eyes, catching an attitude, what are you gonna do? And they don't listen. They don't start that nonsense. Parents, you got these little, squeakers running around here, and they get feet under them, and they get wandering around. They get to reach. You know, it doesn't take genius to know what no means. No, don't touch that. And you know what? You'll see the sin nature. They'll look at you. Their hands are like that. Say, you call them by name. You understand? Do not touch that. They'll look at you at some point and go. And then what you'll do with that thing? Oh, come over and take it and put it on a higher shelf so that they. We're not rearranging our house for kids. We don't rearrange our house, we rearrange something else. purposeful correction. Now, here it is, folks. The reproof and the rod, verbal instruction, practical training eliminates simplicity. It does not guarantee the child will be wise. You can teach and you can train, but you are just making them choose at that point between foolishness and wisdom. Okay? You force them to make a choice.
Yes, sir.
Okay? If they choose to ignore or disobey or delay in their obedience, they are exhibiting foolishness. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. When our children display foolish tendencies, we should not ignore that, but deal with that immediately. You stop what you're doing. You call their name. Come here. Look right here. Get their little face. Look right here at mommy. Look right here at daddy. I'm going to tell you this, and I expect you to do it. Do you understand? And you make sure that you tell them, make sure they understand it, and then now you go do it. Verbal reproof should always be first. Always allow a young person to change the direction and to change things by correcting them verbally. I've told you this, but God sends his word before he sends his rod. Okay, when we're starting to get off track, God, through his either our devotions or public preaching or something, God will use his word to say, you better knock that off. If we ignore it, then God uses something else. Okay? Now, listen to this. Foolishness is driven out. Wisdom is acquired by biblical correction. We fix simplicity by teaching and training. We fix foolishness by reproof and the rod. Many actions and attitudes are clearly labeled in the Bible as foolishness. But at the core, foolishness is simple disobedience or disdain towards a clear biblical principle or command. That's what foolishness is. It is simple disobedience or disdain towards a clear Bible principle or command. If a child has been taught and trained to do what is right and simply refuses to do it, he is being foolish. Okay, it's removed by the two R's, reproof and the rod. Always use reproof first. Get the child's attention, call them by name, make sure you have their full attention. No, look at me. If their eyes are not looking, isn't it amazing? You see the sin nature?
Yes, sir.
They can call your name, they finally stop. Turn around. Look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting? Now, don't sit there and look at me like this isn't your kid. They're all made out of the same stinking flesh. Isn't it interesting? Do you see that? You get them to look at you. I don't want just their ears. I want their eyes. I want their... And if... Come here. Get them right here. Now, I'm gonna tell you this one more time. And I want you to obey me. Do you understand? Okay. You tell them what to do, and then you send them to do it. If they ignore it or delay or disobey, folks, now we're into the foolishness mode. I've used verbal reproof. I'm not verbal reproofing 10 times. You know the phrase y'all hate, right? If you do that, you do that one more time. I'm serious this time. Have you ever been in a waiting room, watched a parent? Don't touch it. I'm serious. Hey, I'm counting. 1, 2, 3. Please show me that verse in Proverbs. Keep doing that, you're going to get a timeout. Amen. I like some of you that have been affected by humanism. I like the looks on you. Some of you are so tight-jawed right now, you can't hardly breathe. You know why? Because you know where we're going. And now watch this. I'm going to say it, and then we're going there. But you know why some of you are having a hard time with plain Bible teaching when it comes to spanking? Because you still have foolishness bound in your heart. You don't want to know what God has to say. You already have your opinion about it. Okay? Isn't that interesting? So it isn't most kids that need spanked. It's parents that need spanked. Now, I'm going to let you... husbands, wives, and go home and figure out who needs to do who first, but Brother Brad. Come on. Woo, here we go. I think the preacher needs spanked right now. Cheryl's not here. When she gets home, we'll... Proverbs 22:15. Are you there? Yeah, let's go there. Proverbs 20. Get to the Bible quick. When it comes to spanking, here's the question that most parents ask more than any other question. When should I use corporal punishment? When should I use it? When should I spank them, preacher? Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know what the Bible says? The reason you spank a child is to drive foolishness from them. So when they display defiant foolishness to a clear Bible command, a clear command that you've given them, and you have verbally corrected that them and told them, look at me, and you need to stop what you're doing, and you need to listen to me. This is what I want you to do. Do you understand? Yes, I understand. Okay, do you have any questions? No, then go do it. Then they go and not do it. Then you know what? I'm done with the first star, and I'm going to the second one. Okay, because what is being displayed in them is foolishness, defiant foolishness. I understand you. I hear you. I'm not doing it. Okay, now, quickly, here we go. That's how you know. You go. Now, watch this, folks. Listen. You first have to make sure that you're not, don't spank for simple. If you're telling them to do something that they either can't comprehend or haven't been trained to do, then don't spank them for not doing it. Sometimes what you have to do is you have to, the reason, watch this, I've seen kids look like deer in the headlights, and they're going like this because they're scared, but the reason they're not obeying you is because they really don't know how to do what you're saying. They're not understanding it. Next thing you know, they're getting a spanking for it. You always, as a parent, lean towards an opportunity to retrain, reteach. But once I'm convinced that we've gone through this enough, they have been taught, they know what I'm talking about, it's not ignorance, it's defiance, then we're going to have a session. Okay? All right, listen. So that's how you decide. Now let me teach you several things about what the Bible says about spanking. Proverbs 3, verse number 11. Quickly, here we go through the book of Proverbs. All right? Stay with me. We're going a little long, but we'll have you out of here before sun sets. Proverbs 3, verse number 11. Quickly, here we go. When should I spank? You should spank to drive out foolishness, not eliminate simplicity. Okay, number two, a spanking should be a spiritual lesson that allows the child to understand the character of God. Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he is delighted. Now, the parent who ignores or excuses acts of foolishness in their child instills within that child a warped view of Almighty God. God does not take pleasure in fools. If your child is saved, God ultimately is their father. Children tend to form their impressions of God based on the actions or inaction of their earthly parents. A child who does not fear to do wrong in your presence will grow up not fearing to do wrong in God's presence. And so the first thing I want to do is teach them about the character of God. Because, folks, God will do his duty, whether we do it or not. If we allow foolishness to remain in our children and they leave our home as fools, God says, move over, parents. You didn't do it, I'll do it. And he'll verbally correct them. And if they don't listen, then he'll bring chastisement, the reproofs of life. And I'm going to tell you, like I said, I don't care how proud, how arrogant they are. God can take them down to nothing. But as a parent, we have to look at that and say, I caused that. I should have taken care of that when they were this hot time. But I ignored it, and I gave them the impression that God would be as I am, that they could look up and defy him and get by with it. You're not, let me not deceive, God is not mocked. And God at some point is going to say, whether or not you either you would not listen to your parents' instruction and did not respond properly to their correction, whether you chose it or whether they didn't do it, you better get it quick, because you know what? Now you're out of that arena and you're my responsibility, and I'll take care of what wasn't taken care of. Okay? And so a spanking should be a scriptural lesson that allows the child to understand the character of God. God loves us, so he corrects us. He loves us. That's his character. So he corrects us. Not because he's just waiting for us to mess up so that he can enjoy the correction process. He does it because he loves us, and he knows if we choose the way of wisdom, there's all of these wonderful rewards, but if we choose the path of foolishness, there's all this destruction and misery ahead. So God loves us enough to want to save us from that. Number three, a spanking should always be motivated by love. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Proverbs 13:24. Go over there. I want you to watch this. Proverbs 13:24. Wow. I love, here's a statement you'll hear. And I'm telling you, there's more blasphemy being taught on afternoon TV and morning TV. Ladies, turn that stupid thing off. Dr. Phil don't know beans about raising children, neither does Oprah. Get to the Bible. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod, what? Well, if you loved your children, you wouldn't spank them. You ever heard that? That's humanism. It's, you know what they're saying? God's a liar, and I know more than God. Now, you going to listen to Oprah or God? God says, if you spare the rod. Now, when would you spare it? You would spare it when, you know what? It's not simplicity. They've been taught and trained. They have clear understanding. They have displayed an act of foolishness. I have given them verbal reproof, given them a chance to correct, be corrected with verbal reproof. Look at this. Tabitha, who I married off, honestly responded very, very well throughout her life to verbal reproof. We didn't have to spank her a lot. And so, great. Kids, you're smart. If you just learn, when mom and dad says, no, we're not doing that, do you understand me? And we're going to do this, and we're going to do it with the right attitude. Do you get this? All right, then go do it. That kind of kid, you don't have to spank much. It's some of you little strong-willed devils. Come on now. You know, 12, 14, 16, you know everything. And you know what? You know what? I don't know. My mom, my dad's always whipping on me. Well, that's your fault, not theirs. I can tell you how to change that immediately. Here's how you change it. When they tell you to do something, do it. When they tell you to stop doing something, stop it. Well, like, obey. Yeah. Why? Well, why is that a big deal? This is why it's a big deal. Because God, throughout your life, has given you a book that tells you to not do certain things, and you need to stop, not do them. And he's going to tell you to do something, and you need to do them. And if you don't, you know what? You got him to deal with. So the parent who's teaching you simple obedience, and those of you that embrace simple obedience, look, come on, stop this. It's your stinking sin nature. We all got it. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, recognize why you feel the way you do. Some of you kids are all bound up now. You mean you just think I'm just supposed to do what they say? Yes! Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yes! Dad says, stop doing it, don't do it. In my house, if we got a warning, we were blessed. I don't know if he understood the whole verbal reproof then. I wish I'd have known this at 8. I'd have said, Dad, come here. Spanking should always be motivated by love. The TV expert will tell you if you love your child, you won't spank him. God says if you hate him, you'll spare the rod. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes means early. That's the next one. Number 4, spanking should be done early. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Betimes means early. If you look it up, the word betimes is derived from the word dawn, the dawning of the day. It goes on to explain the meaning of the word as follows. Look in your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. To be early at any task with the implication of earnestness, to search for painstaking. As parents, you know what we watch for in our young people? Foolishness. We want to fix it. We look for simplicity, we look for foolishness. When we see simplicity, we need to teach and train. When we see acts of foolishness, we need to reprove. And then if that doesn't work, we need to spank them. Because I'm trying to drive the foolishness out of their heart. Now, please listen to me. The parent who fails in this area of their life, you're setting yourself up for a lot of heartache. Every ounce of foolishness you remove from a toddler, every ounce of foolishness you remove from the child as a toddler, you eliminate a ton of rebellion that you will not have to deal with when they become a teenager. Okay? Little babies are simple. Parents, listen to me. Be careful. I'm not giving you a life. You know, I've heard crazy stuff taught in our fundamental circles, and I don't say amen to it. I mean, there's a lot of months there in the early developing years. They don't know how else to communicate, so they cry. Okay? I mean, don't be stupid on this. They're simple. okay? But when they get their feet underneath them, and you have taught and trained some very simple things, and they begin to show that defiant attitude, they reach and touch, but they look you right in the eye and do it, and you go over and smack their little hand, and they're going to bawl like they've been killed, and oh my goodness sakes, and they're just, you're going to think they're dying, and you know what? You just, listen, you're delivering their soul from hell. You're delivering their soul from hell, okay? All right, let me give you the next one. A spanking properly administered will never threaten the child's health or life. Boy, I want to say this out loud. Proverbs 23:13, turn over there. A spanking properly administered will never threaten the child's health or life. I'm not for child abuse. By the way, spanking is not child abuse. That's what the world wants to, that's what some of you are struggling with. You've listened to all this nonsense. Some of you work jobs where you're trained in humanistic philosophy on a regular basis. Spanking is not child abuse. Not spanking is child abuse. Not spanking when they deserve it is child abuse. Okay, Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child. Listen, if they've earned it, they should get it. Because you need to be consistent. If thou beatest him with the rod, don't freak out the word beatest. If he beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now what that's telling you is you should never put at risk a child's health or life. Spanking, a properly administered spanking, does not do that. Okay? The word beat there has been used in our society in association with child or spousal abuse. Man that would beat his wife, I want to take him out behind a barn and beat him. Somebody that honestly, physically abuses a child, I'm telling you what, I say take them downtown and hang them from a light post. I mean, I don't have any patience with it. I'm not teaching and giving anybody here a license to abuse children. But spanking is not child abuse. It is not child abuse if it's properly administered. Okay, I think Satan has worked very hard to cause the word, that word beat, to be linked with a criminal act because he knows it's a Bible word. Okay? All right, so if you look at, the Strong's Concordance on the word, if thou beatest him, it means to, this is, I love these definitions, and sometimes it's like this when you study the Bible. It says this, to strike lightly or severely, literally or figuratively. Thanks. But that leaves a broad area of interpretation, so we must study the word in the context of its usage. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Honestly, what it's saying there is you should strike them in such a way that it causes great pain, but it does not threaten their health or their life. Now, folks, listen. God's created a place on your children that have extra meat and plenty of layers of fat on it. And you can smack it pretty good, and it will cause immense pain and not threaten their health or their life. You know where I'm talking about? And that's where they ought to be spanked. I'm not against smacking a kid's hand from time to time, but I think you ought to spank them where they ought to be spanked. Yeah, I think, listen, if you're smacking them in the head or you're smacking them in the face or you're grabbing their arm and jerking them, then you are doing it in a temper tantrum. And that is not right. The first thing you ought to do, and this is a good rule, some of you daddies that tend to be hotheads, come on. I think all of us men deal a little bit with a temper issue. Is sometimes when a child is being defiant, you just want to, you know, send them to Mars. You need, for your sake, to say you need to go sit in your room a minute. Now, this does two great things. How many's been in that room waiting? Give them 15, 20 minutes. You know. They'll be repenting of things they never even done by the time you get in there. But a lot of times, and maybe the most important reason to do that sometimes is to get you under control. Okay, so you need to go in your room and wait. Because I need to cool down and I need to pray. Lord, I want to exhibit the character of God here. I want to exhibit to God and let them see the character of you in this. So I want to do this out of love. But I also want them to understand that foolishness is to be corrected. And so you go down, once you've cooled down, you sit down and you talk about what they did and you make sure they have an understanding and you understand that they understand that it was a foolishness. Did I give you verbal reproof? Yes, you did. Did you listen? No, I didn't. You understand what God expects me to do here? And then, folks, listen to me. If you're going to spank them, and listen, if you do this properly, you know, it's not something you have to do a lot. I mean, it really isn't. If you do, when it comes time to do it, if you do it right, you don't have to do it a lot. Some of you that are always having to do it is because you do it in anger and you don't fix the problem. You're mad, and by the time you get done, the kid's mad. You want to bring them to tears of repentance, not tears of anger. And they're mad because you're mad. Okay? And so send them in there. And I mean, listen, this whole idea of swat, 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 and they turn around and look at you, and it ain't getting the job done. Now, again, should it ever threaten their health or life? No. But some of you need to learn how to spank. You got a spanking from my dad once. You didn't want another one for a long time. I'm just saying, some of you guys play at it, and your kids, you know what? They're laughing when they walk off. And you haven't fixed anything. In fact, you've made it worse. Okay? I'm trying to pull some of you hotheads back, and I'm trying to take some of you tender souls that think you're fixing something and you're not, because, okay, preacher says we have to spank them. And you haven't done anything except made a mockery of what the Bible says. God doesn't say to foolishness, pat, pat. He will light you up. Amen. And so, again, it ought to be done carefully, properly. Proverbs 19:18. Turn there. I want to hear the pages. There you go. Tears of repentance is the desired effect of spanking. Tears of repentance, not tears of anger and defiance, tears of remorse, tears of repentance. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A child should receive a spanking even if he begins to cry before it's administered. Foolishness is driven from a child by use of corporal punishment, not by the tears of self-pity in anticipation of a spanking. Okay, so foolishness, did you reprove them? Yes. Then you go to spank them, and they cry, and you don't spank them. So now they've been taught something. I can defy them and disobey them, and then if they get mad enough to spank me, if I cry, they won't spank me. So you're learning, you're teaching them to manipulate authority, not respond correctly to authority. Number 7, a child's tears. Boy, this is the most important thing I'm going to say, and then we're done. Listen to me. A child's tears should be as much from disappointment as from your spanking. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart. If you have not built a close, loving, meaningful relationship with your child, spanking them will not bring about the desired effect. Let me say it again. If you have not built a close, loving, meaningful relationship with your child, spanking them will not bring about the desired effect. Love your children. Spend time with them. Applaud them every time they do right. Praise them. Hold them. Kiss them. Cuddle them. Build a strong relationship. That means when I have to verbal reprove them, they know daddy's upset with them. And it breaks their heart more that they've disappointed me than anything I could do to them. And so if I reprove them verbally and they respond with tears, repentance, and a change of direction, then you know what? That's all they needed. If they defy and they have to be spanked, then they should be spanked. But the honest truth is, folks, that's why you have to spend time building this strong relationship with your children. You have to spend time. Because spanking, the tears after I would spank one of my daughters and they would turn, their typical reaction growing up would be to turn and grab me by the neck and put their head there and bawl their little eyes out. And it wasn't the pain of the spanking. It was the fact daddy was disappointed and daddy had to do this to me because I didn't listen. And that's what you want. You want that. If you do that and you get that early on, get that settled early on in life, then later on you can just fix these things in a more... Who's ringing? Oh, Lynette, how are you, hon? You doing all right? That's Blessed Hope Baptist College calling to see if you're going to attend this next year after you graduate, so... All right, Brother John, I think this is just something she needs retaught and retrained in. I don't see defiance. I see submission. Just reteach, retrain, please. Don't take her home a beat. No, no, no. Come on. I'm a grandpa now. She just didn't understand. That was her problem. There's our brother yelling out there for blood. I know. Let me give you a couple verses. My son, this I love this verse. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Proverbs 23:15. Write that one down. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. And so what I want to do is I want to take this precious gift that God's given us. And we walked up, that little girl yesterday, the first time we brought her to church, we brought her up to an altar. And we said we are dedicating her life to God and dedicating ourselves to raise her for God. And that was not just something we did as a show thing. That's something we meant. Now that little baby I'm holding in my hands that I'm doing that with is simple. And she has a sin nature, so she's going to have more of a bent towards foolishness than she is wisdom. And we've got this huge job ahead of us. You better get on your knees and pray. You better ask God for wisdom. Sometimes as a parent, it's really hard to look at a situation and say, do they just honestly need to be retaught and retrained? Or watch this, do they need a hug or they need a spanking? There's a lot of this stuff we can go through and we can write the principles down. But folks, every kid's personality is different. And a lot of times every situation's different. And sometimes we don't have the mind, the same wisdom of God has, and we're trying to discern what's going on in their life. It's not easy. But you know what? That's why we've got to stay close as parents to God so we can get the wisdom to figure these kids out. I got three girls with three dynamically different, but yet wonderful personalities. And I love every one of them. I love them all the same. And so it's not just figuring out one kid. What you do with the first one may not work on the second one. They may respond differently. You've got to look at this thing, and you've got to stay on your knees, and you say, God, I need your wisdom, because I need this girl's heart. More than anything, I need her heart. Amen. If I got her heart, we can fix all the rest of the stuff. We can fix stuff that goes on. I start losing her heart, I'll lose her. Yeah. And so work hard at that. Some of you that have a tendency to be strong disciplinarians, you want to come home, and you want to make sure you have all the spanking principles, and that's all you've heard. But folks, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that needs to be there, or the spanking isn't going to really do much of anything. A kid that's not loved and not shown proper love and not properly trained and disciplined and trained and taught and then gets spanked all the time, it doesn't turn out a good person. It turns down a person with a lot of baggage and a lot of heartache and a lot. I've gone over, I know. But our young couples needed help in this. Grandmas and grandpas, look at me. Sometimes we just need to walk in the other room, don't we? All right. And I didn't think it would be this hard, Brother Dave. I watched one of my mean daughters or mean son-in-law spank those kids. I know, man. I'm like, what are you doing? You know what they're doing? They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing what we did. But it was easier then for some reason. We got all soft and mushy now or something. I don't know. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, please. Lord, these young people are a gift from heaven. Ultimately, all children, dear God, once they're saved, are your children. Help us to do right by your kids. Thank you for the amount of time that they're lent to us. Help us, Lord, to help them overcome the simplicity that's just built in, and help them to embrace the wisdom that we try to teach and train. Help us to have the courage to do right in the face of acts of foolishness, and yet help us to always have the heart of God when we do it. Help it to be motivated by love. Help it to be properly done in proper context. And God, help the young people at some point in their life not to need a spanking, and not to really need much verbal reproof. Help them to want wisdom as badly as we want to give it to them. Because, boy, that makes a mom and dad's heart rejoice. Even mine, Solomon wrote, even mine. Thank you for the young people that love their mom and dad enough to say, I want what you want for me. I want to be wise. Teach me. Train me. If I need it, reprove me. If I need it, spank me. But I want to grow up and be somebody that God can be proud of. I want to do the will of God. Help us, Lord. Help these young parents, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet.